Hello, everyone, and welcome this morning to our Yoga Teacher Success Interview. I'm very happy this morning, and we're all honored to be here with Maggie Skye, who is a full-time thriving yoga teacher in Natick, Massachusetts, which she's just told me is west of Boston, kind of on the outside of Boston. And Maggie was previously a psychotherapist, and then she became a yoga teacher, and she's going to tell us her story of how she transitioned to being a really full-time yoga teacher. She was in one area of Boston, and then she became successful there full-time and then moved to another part of Boston, which is Natick. And she works at the Roots and Wings Healing Arts .com, which is a yoga and healing arts studio. And she also does private lessons as well as group classes. And she became the management consultant and the marketing consultant for that studio. And we're going to talk about what she did to help the studio grow. They actually added a second room or a second studio onto the previous studio they had because she was so successful at helping that studio grow. And Maggie just has a beautiful, beautiful positive energy, which I know is key to her success as well. And so let me just welcome you, Maggie. So glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
So why don't we start, maybe we could just start with what you feel has been the key to you making the transition from being a full-time psychotherapist to being a full-time yoga teacher. And what do you feel has been the maybe the root of your success?
Yes. Well, both professions have a theme of helping people to feel good in a certain way. And that definitely was what I was drawn to, teaching people, helping people, supporting people. And so I got so much out of the yoga myself, and I just kind of wanted to live it. I wanted to share it, live it. The transition, I felt like I would just pretty much share my energy around it. Like you said, the energy of how much joy this brings to me and how much I have gotten out of this in my own transformation, and that I want to provide that for people.
Mm-hmm. Great. So just the energy of basically your core shining through of the joy of yoga.
Yes, I think so, which is pretty much what fueled my focus in starting off in a new career.
Okay. And then what were the things that you did when you transitioned out of psychotherapy into yoga teaching? What was it like at the beginning when you were a new teacher?
It was pretty scary in the beginning because I didn't know if I would be successful. I had never done anything like this, so I wasn't quite sure exactly how to do it. And I didn't feel hugely confident in my role as a teacher, stand in front of people and guide them, tell them what to do, or see people privately. I was already offering that as well. Am I really an expert enough to do that? And so those were all challenges to me. There was somewhat of a feel the fear and do it anyway. And
yes.
I probably felt that on a daily basis, acknowledged that on a daily basis.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so how did you get started? Did you go to your local studio? Did you start subbing? How did you get connections to get started teaching?
The first thing I did is I went to a local studio, and I told them that I was interested in starting a new class there. And everybody was an independent renter, so I was pretty much on my own, meaning, in fact, the style at that studio was a different style, and they were all kind of connected in that style of yoga, not really the style that I was teaching, which is Kripalu style yoga. And I was on my own in building classes. So that was a huge learning curve for me. And what seemed most logical in the beginning was to make some posters and hang them around town, which I did. And I also thought I might as well start offering some free classes and some, you know, so people get to know me. I think that's really important for teachers when they're starting out, even if they started a successful studio. If they want to build their own classes, get yourself out there. So I went around and I offered free classes to the schools, not ongoing, but just a one-time deal, maybe to the students at an after-school program or through the Department of Recreation, a free class, just a one-shot deal, free Kripalu class, or the senior center. There's so many avenues, depends on what you're interested in, that you can pursue. So I did the same thing when I moved. I had to start all over again. So even though I had full class. Yeah.
I just want to ask about the free classes that you would do. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that at the free class you would also invite people then to become paid clients to come to the studio. How would you do that, and when in the free class would you invite them to come to the studio where you were teaching?
This is a really important piece because it takes some planning in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So you offer a free class. Say you're going to offer it one free class to the school teacher, the public school teachers or school teachers in general in the area. And you see if you can hang a few posters in the teacher lounges around all the local schools. And you, if you know anyone at the school, you ask them to let people they know, and maybe you even contact people at the school that say, listen, I'm trying to support teachers. I'm going to offer a free class. So then, like you're saying, how do you get them to become students? Well, you plan. So what would be the next step? So say you're going to offer a class at 4 after school, 4 o'clock, in the school cafeteria. They've given you permission, and you're going to do a 10-class series. So you would have that ready for your students for that free class to know about that. Maybe have a little flyer about it that has all the information and your email and phone number and the start time and end time and the fee for that, and you have that available for this free class to pass out to all the students. And then the other thing that is important is to have a sign, like a sign-in sheet that has a place for them to write their name, their email, and their phone number, because that way you can follow up afterwards and contact them and make a connection, which is really, really key in building your practice.
Right. So what about people that wouldn't sign up for your class, but you stay in touch with them? What would you send them? How would you, build a relationship with them even if they weren't interested or weren't able to come to your paid class?
Mm-hmm. So after a class that I teach, for example, after a free class, or even now, after any class that I teach, and I have pretty full classes, if I get a new student, I will email them afterwards or give them a call, ask them how they feel after class, how that class was for them. So you're making a connection, and it's not so much a connection to build your class, but it's a genuine, caring connection. Like, how was that? How was that for you? They might say, oh, it was just too much for me. I think I need something more gentle. And you could guide them to, the Sarupa class down the street. But that connection is what's key in building your practice in the long run, not really getting that student. So after your free classes, contacting each one, and if you can, personally, rather than a mass mailing to all of them, which is fine, but if you could really contact each person, say, Linda, it was a joy to meet you. I was just curious how you felt after class, how your body's feeling, what you thought of this was your first yoga class, how was that for you? And you email each person with a little personal message. That's an investment in your future.
That is beautiful. And then you're building a relationship, and they might not become a student, but they might refer someone, or they'll have a really good positive memory of that experience. That's beautiful.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They might go to Sarupa down the road, but they know that their sister-in-law is looking for a class, and and she would love your class, so they'll send her your way. She was a lovely person. The class is too challenging for me, but I think it would be great for you. So, yeah.
I think that's beautiful, because one of the things that I think sometimes happens is that the teacher will become nervous if they know they're not the right fit for someone. And instead of becoming nervous about not being the right fit for a given client, you're still in service to that person, whatever their needs are, and that builds a relationship whether or not it's a fit. And it's not about you, Maggie, or it's not about the teacher. It's about the fit for them.
Exactly, which the bigger picture isn't really about we're talking about how you become a successful yoga teacher and how you grow your classes, but the bigger picture is how do you support people And how do you, whatever, share the love or share the expertise? And that doesn't directly mean you to student and student to you, but it means the whole picture.
Okay. So I'm getting the idea that when you were first new, you just really put yourself out there. You gave a lot of free classes. You put up posters. And then you moved to a new studio. Do you want to tell us about that transition? Did you use the same techniques to become established in a new area, or did you try some new things?
I did. Well, I do want to say, too, before I moved, when I was establishing myself in Brookline, Massachusetts, which is closer to Boston, I also was teaching some classes for children. There seemed to be such a need for that, and I enjoyed it. So that grew a lot. That's the other thing, is finding where there is a need and seeing if that's where you're drawn as well, because some communities, there is more of a need for children or for seniors or for whatever, teachers or veterans. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of need for children in Brookline, and my practice really grew in that area. And I thought that that was pretty unique. And so I called the local newspaper because I thought that would be important for people to be aware. This is awesome. Kids are learning how to relax, and I want to get that out there. So the newspaper was very interested, and they did an article. So that also helps in getting yourself known in the community, to have an article written about the, what you're doing, what you're bringing to the community. So my practice was
That's great,
in Brookline.
Could you talk just a little bit about when you... No, you're doing great. This is really helpful information. I love what you're sharing. And for people who might want to teach children, could you talk about the different ways to get a children's class? Were you teaching during the school day, in the after school? How did you meet the people? Was it in preschools, elementary, high school, private, public? How did you find the inroads?
So I did have a couple adult classes already, and through that I talked to the adults, some were parents, about an interest for their children. At the same time, I was pursuing the after-school programs at the local schools, public and private, to see who'd be interested in hiring me. And rather than doing one-shot deals, I only wanted to do back-to-back, meaning two classes, so that I would have a block at the same place. So I could make a little more money during the block if I charged, say, $50 per class for each 45-minute class, and I would have two blocks and make $100 rather than one, prepare for one 45-minute block. And it's only, you know. And I went into some preschools. So I that was not an avenue that took off for me, but I did go into a few preschools and did a little presentation to the parents and a presentation to the preschools. I did run a couple classes at a couple preschools, but mostly the elementary school age was what I taught in teens. And I talked to the high school, and what happened is through the high school I became a class that the students could take. They could come to where I was teaching but get class credit for phys ed through me, So it's just exploring, talking to people. When you talk, you just talk. You just get yourself out there and talk to people and see where the energy goes. It either goes out, the fire's out, and you just don't pursue it, or people get excited, and then you try to see how you can make it happen.
So I get the sense of openness and curiosity that you were just, you know, openness and curiosity to what might work and flexibility, and then also continually, almost relentlessly putting yourself out there.
Yes. So I taught classes at the studio where I rented. I taught classes for children. I taught classes for families, and I taught at the public schools. I taught for the high school, but at the studio. I created then a program to teach teachers how to bring things into the classroom. So then some of the schools were hiring me for in-service. And then I just wrote it all up, sent it to Kripalu, and started teaching the children's program out there. So it all built upon itself.
So you took, this was the children's program, so you took your experience with children and took that and develop that into a program you could teach other teachers.
Exactly. Not the full program,
oh, wow.
but the key points of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So talk about when you switched studios now. I know you had said you did some free events when you moved.
Yes, so then I moved and I had to start all over again because it's too
yeah.
far for people to travel to my classes. So I started the whole process over again and I started with my Faithful posters. And I do want to add,
mm-hmm.
when you make a poster, it really helps to have the pull tabs at the bottom where they can rip it off and it has your email and phone number on it. Some
okay.
people hang posters without those, but the pull tabs are great.
What would you put
so
on
I'd
your
hang-
posters, just by the way?
I have a formula. Now I've created a template. So at the studio, when teachers start here, I can send them the template so that they can use it to create their own posters. But
mm-hmm.
Very clear and concise at the top is what you're offering, like free
mm-hmm.
yoga class or yoga for children, something that's what you want them to see to catch their eye. Lot,
mm-hmm.
not a lot of words, so bullet points, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
deepen your breath, stretch, learn to relax. Something, and then
mm-hmm.
your contact information, and then you use your pull tabs that have the title, the date if needed, and contact information, location.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
not a lot of words, bullet points, so you don't have the ands and the this and the that, but you just have the words that you need. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Very simple. Do you do half sheets or full sheets? What do you want?
A full sheet of paper, 8.5 by 11,
yeah.
with pull tabs at the bottom.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
And you mentioned to me the one type of advertising you had tried or marketing that you did not believe worked. Do you want to share about that?
Of course, I want to support the advertising industry, but I
yeah.
have not chosen to invest. I've tried it before where I put lots of money down and got an ad in a newspaper. And
mm-hmm.
I don't find that that is the best way for me.
Mm-hmm.
I find putting my energy into being in the community, getting in the community, talking to people, hanging posters, offering free classes, you know, sharing the love is how I say it, but, you know, maybe for some it's sharing their expertise, but getting out there and showing who I am, it goes so much further, is such a better investment than for me. Spending money on an ad in the Yellow Pages, the newspaper, or whatever. Even, you know, now there's these discount things that you can do to get people to come to your studio, and I'm not choosing to do it for ours. So I have
mm-hmm.
other ways that I enjoy, which is like the benefit that you were mentioning. We can talk about that
mm-hmm.
if you want.
Yeah. So what would you like to go into next? Would you like to talk about the benefit events?
Yeah, well, I guess segueing from moving, starting up all over again to the benefit,
mm-hmm.
because that was a piece of it. So when I
okay.
came to Natick and I started all over again, I started with the same things, hanging the posters and getting out in the community, offering free classes and being prepared when people came to my class to get to know them, meaning I'd get their email and phone number if they wanted to give it, and I'd contact them. And check in
mm-hmm.
and let them know what I'm offering. But they come to a free class, and I would have a printout of what I'm offering so that they would come, you know.
Yeah.
But definitely the follow-up and connection was so important. And
yeah.
So doing all of that, the benefit came more when I started teaching at the studio where I am. I taught a few different places in Natick before I came here.
Okay.
So I felt like benefiting something would be helpful that would bring awareness to an organization and maybe money or food for food pantry, and I would teach a class
mm-hmm.
for that
mm-hmm.
organization. That way the organization would advertise about my classes, and also I would be potentially getting new students, and
mm-hmm.
new students would be learning about yoga. So it was a win all the way around. So I started with a benefit. That was very helpful. Now I create benefits for the whole studio. That's the studio, the Roots and Wings sponsors. We have several
mm-hmm.
teachers teaching classes. So it's on a bigger scale. But it's the same thing. It's being in the community and offering services and letting people know what's out there to support them in their transformation and healing, as well as supporting an organization. And the benefits for the studio, who's offering all this free stuff, is also that they're just getting, you know, they're growing their clientele. It's just a win-win
right.
the whole way around. So.
Right. So in a way, it's a form of outreach, and it builds positive vibes. The teachers get to give something, and then you are getting more referrals because the organization that is being benefited is also promoting the event and telling their list about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's what
and
it's really, it's the kind of advertising I like. Not so much that it's advertising, but it's connecting, it's still more that connection, personal connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you might like have a day, or would you do this in an evening, like a day where all your students are, your teachers are giving one class, or would you do a special gala event in the evening, or is it more like just a regular yoga class with
mm-hmm.
the donations being given to the organization?
We've done both. When we have new teachers join here, rent here, they're all independent, I highly suggest that they find an organization to benefit and offer a benefit. And I talk them through that so that they can get themselves out there in that way. So the Roots and Wings offers the space for free while they, you know, support an organization and get the word out there about themselves, and we send it out on e-newsletter. When we take over the whole building and do a Roots and Wings-sponsored benefit, then we do a whole day. So with a teacher, it's a class.
Okay.
Roots Wings benefiting something. It's the whole day from say 9 or 10 in the morning till 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
And then, do you ask the people who come to that benefit to make a cash donation or another donation to the organization that you're benefiting? How do you do that?
The last benefit that we had, we had a box available for cash donations. We had a raffle. Those things, items were donated for a raffle. We had an artisan sale, and a part of those proceeds went to benefit the organization we were benefiting. We had classes all day long, and all of the proceeds for those classes went to benefit the organization we were benefiting. And we had practitioners. So here we have massage, acupuncture, all kinds of practitioners. So they provided services and gave a percentage of their earnings to the organization as well. So we made thousands
Beautiful.
Of dollars for the organization.
Wow, that is so good. So, Maggie, I want to transition in a minute to talking about the private lessons that you give, because I think a lot of our listeners are going to be interested in how to invite private students in, and I know that's something you've been very successful at. At the same time, something that's coming up for me listening to just how comprehensive your work is, really, the comprehensive type of outreach you do, the comprehensive benefits you put on, and you have a full calendar. I mean, you're doing outreach, you're doing some free classes, you're doing your regular paid classes, and now you have private clients. And I know we may also talk about the consulting work that you've done for this studio, Roots and Wings, to help them grow. And what's coming up for me now is just time management, and how do you, and maybe coming up for some of our other listeners when I go through the list, how do you, because I know for me, as I grow, it's really important to find my own ways of staying grounded and balanced so that I don't feel frazzled. That's not very yogic, really, right? So what do you do to manage your time and stay calm with everything that you're accomplishing?
Yes. I guess to start with, I absolutely love what I do. I'm not consumed by it, though. I have a family, and I'm, you know, fully involved, and I have friends and a life. So, but loving what you do helps a lot, because then you're just in your life enjoying it. And the other thing is, I go to people's classes. I get massages. I do a lot of self-care for myself and take the time for that. So it's so important. I also know that it's okay if I don't get everything done. There's a little bit of, there's always something to be done. There always is.
Yeah.
more can be done, and there's always something to be done. But also, nothing really bad's going to happen if it doesn't get done. So things can wait. I can go on vacation, and things can wait, and it's okay. So that's helpful.
Okay.
And then last, I would say, is that I know when you need help, and I did get to a point because as we grow, then more, there's more work. So we grew, and I actually asked a yoga student of mine to help me a bit. So I haven't really hired her, but she helps me when I need it with a few things, and it's just great. And she comes to class for free.
Oh, great. What do you have her do to help you?
Like, you know, what I don't love about my work and what kind of sucks my time a little bit is when I can't organize how to move through it, so suddenly I'm kind of stuck in it. And so I just call her up and I say, listen, I'm stuck with this, or I have a pile here and I'm not moving through it. So she'll just come over or we'll meet and she'll say, do this, you know, she'll just kind of, she can see it clearly because she's not thick in it. So just a little bit of her help around organization, I'd say, helps a lot.
Okay.
Sometimes
your
I'll say...
Your second mind kind of helped you think about it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm stuck, and that just takes time and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then other ways I might have, say, something I need to write out or something that's, you know, just it's easy to do, it just has to get done. So I can say, would you mind just, you know, recording this for me? And then it's done.
Uh-huh.
So it's really great.
Don't let things back up. If you notice you're starting to get a backlog, you call for help.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also heard you say before that, this isn't on the recording, but one of the things you and I talked about previously is that you set aside time daily. Was that you who told me that you set aside time daily to do your, like, database stuff or your data entry or record keeping?
Yes. Yes, that's part of the job that I can't say I love. Right. Okay.
Okay.
So it's not part of the job that I love, but it is part that needs to get done. So I do it in increments. So I might set up a time, you know, an hour each day, and I do certain tasks, that just data entry and receiving the phone calls, the voice messages, and checking the emails that come in, and I just do that in a block of time each day and just keep up with it a little each day. So not doing a ton of it every day. Or one day a week, you know, all day long.
You don't let it all stack up, but you do like 1 or 2 hours, you know, a block of like an hour of just admin stuff.
I would say, yeah, probably an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Returning phone calls is different because I enjoy that, because I'm connecting with people. But to take down the voicemails or to do the data entry, that's tougher for me. So I spend about an hour each day doing those things.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for talking about that whole piece. I think that's really important so that we stay calm and balanced with everything that needs to get done. And I'd love to have you talk some about private students, because I know a lot of teachers would like to have private students, and they just don't know how to go about inviting them, or they're just not sure how to get them. So would you talk about maybe the balance that you have? Is it 4 public classes that you have and more privates? How does that work?
Yes, I have 4 classes a week that I offer here at the studio. And I have, it's changed since I spoke with you last. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I probably have 5 or 6 privates a week right now.
Okay. Great.
And then I have 1 private class that I teach off-site.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I guess besides private students, I also have a few private where teachers hire me privately to consult with me about their practice.
Okay.
Which is a little different than private teaching.
Right. And how do you go about inviting people to become private students?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that maybe didn't really occur to me, might not occur to people, but it's so important, is to let your students know you do it. I think I assumed that they knew because I had sent it via email. I thought I mentioned it in class. I remember one day I stood up in front of class and I had cards and a brochure that I made. And I said, I'm offering private class, private sessions. And I kind of went over the key points of what might be helpful for someone who came to a private session, why they would come. And then I said, if you yourself, or if you know of somebody who would benefit, here is my card and a brochure. And people were so surprised. I thought they knew that I offer private sessions. So I think periodically making that announcement in your class is a good idea, and having maybe a little flyer or brochure or a card, something tangible, and to remind them that it doesn't have to be just for them. It could be for someone they know that would benefit. So that was one way that I let people know that I was available for private sessions. Periodically when I send an email, if I'm letting my students know the shift in my schedule or the updated schedule or something like that, or invite them to a free class I'm offering, I will add in the email, not every time, but sometimes, that to remind them that private sessions are available. I certainly remind them over the holidays, and even will have gift certificates available for them to purchase for their loved ones. People don't think of these things, so it's good to remind them that it's a great gift. Give them the gift of relaxation or yoga.
And how do you differentiate a private session from a group class? Because somebody might look at it and they say, well, a group class costs, you know, $10, $15, and a private, we can discuss what you charge and how that works, but a private is more expensive. So how do you differentiate the benefits or what they're going to, why they would want a private?
A private session will hold the space for the person you're working with for exactly the work they're needing. And it depends on what your expertise is. I have a background as a psychotherapist, so often mine is more about transformational work and growth and feelings and emotions. But if it's about the body, you know, physically what's going on, or if it's about learning how to relax the body, you just learn so much more in a private session that is completely personalized to what your need is. So when I talk to people when they're curious about a private session and that investment, which it is an investment, I see private sessions as something that has so much learning in it that it's a great investment, because in a short time, it's pretty time limited, somebody can learn so much about what they're wanting to learn about, and that could be de-stressing, relaxation, breathing, you know, something for their back, if they have back issues, whatever your expertise is. So it's concentrated, and it's focused, and it's for that person, designed for that person. In my private sessions, I also take notes, and then I email, following the session, the notes, all that we went over, so they have that. And sometimes I record, say there's a guided yoga piece or guided relaxation, I'll record that, and I can burn that as a CD, so they have that. So they have some things that are theirs, personal, with them as well. So that's for the rest of their life, they have that. It's great stuff.
That's beautiful. So you record it using your computer somehow? Kind of a mic?
Well, they have these, I don't know what you call them. They're these little gadgets that you record. You get them at one of those office supply stores, and you can turn it on, and it will record your voice, and then you can plug it into your computer and save it as an MP3. So someone could put it on their iPod, or you could burn a CD.
Got it. You know, my iPhone does it, I'm realizing. So I've never made a CD, but I'm realizing that could just, I've done a lot on the Internet, but that could just go right onto a CD. Yeah, sure.
Exactly,
any voice recorder.
Any voice
recorder.
Great. Exactly.
Any voice recorder.
iPhones are good.
You can attach it to their email if it's small enough, or Dropbox if it's larger. Beautiful. And so what do you discuss with them before they become your client? Do you talk on the phone with them when they're deciding whether or not to come, or is it just that, you know, they hear you, invite them, and boom, they sign up?
I like to talk on the phone. So if somebody emails me because they are considering a private session or they're not sure if they should just come to classes or a private session, I say, I would love to discuss this with you and answer your questions. Let's set up a phone time. Here's some availability that I have if you'd like to discuss this. Otherwise, if you'd like, email me. But I'd love to talk to you by phone if we can make it work, something like that. And then most often we talk by phone. So by phone, you get to hear the tone of people's voices, and it's just so much better. So that way I can explain to them the benefits of a private session. I can hear what they're wanting. For some people I say, I don't think you necessarily need a private session. I think if you're comfortable coming to a class, classes would be great for you. It's really depending on what they need. So that way we can really look at what it is they're looking for, and I can explain what it is I think I can offer them, and we can see if it feels like a good investment for them.
And how and when do you discuss the cost?
In that conversation. And if people don't want a phone conversation, then I write it up in email. So I tell them upfront what it costs. The cost is I charge for one session. If someone's going to have one session with me, I charge $100. Mm-hmm. But if someone, what I recommend is that they have four sessions with me, and that averages out to $85 a session. So it's $340, I believe. Because I believe you learn so much more with four sessions, and you really have a solid package to leave and implement into your life.
Right.
So my recommendation is that they commit to four sessions. And, of course, some people say, I think I really need this, but I, to be honest, I cannot afford it. Then we talk.
Yeah.
If someone needs it and they can't afford it, I just work with them. We find it something they can afford. Yes.
Yeah. So you would ask them, what are you comfortable, or what can you afford, and see if it's something that you're also comfortable with.
Exactly.
Now, Maggie, I know you were a psychotherapist before you became a yoga teacher, so you probably became comfortable talking about fees for private sessions with people. A lot of yoga teachers that I talk to are shy about this step, or maybe wouldn't be comfortable charging $100. So how did you grow into that? I'd love to.
Yeah, so that's a good point, because coming from where I came from, I had the practice. But how you grow into it, even if you don't have a background like I did, I think one is by really coming into your own belief system of what you're offering. I think if you really feel like you have something to offer somebody, if you really feel like what you have to offer is important, it's easier to say, this is what I offer and this is how much it costs. The other thing is, and you and I talked about this before, I think it's really important to invest in yourself and go to see other people privately. If you can't pay $75 or whatever it is wherever you live in your area, and how much you feel comfortable charging and paying, if it's hard for you to pay $100 for a session or $75 for a session or whatever it is, it's going to be hard for you to charge that as well.
Right.
So kind of opens up the energy in a lot of ways to start investing in yourself and getting a massage and paying the money for it and getting, you know, in private embodiments or whatever the sessions are for you, and paying other people for their private services. And, you know, that will open up that energy for people to also invest in you. Can you invest in others?
Right. So kind of relaxing yourself into the flow of the universe and trusting that as you give to others through honoring them for their services, people will want to do exactly the same with you.
Exactly. And if you believe the investment is
worth it. I've found that in my own life, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
It's a big piece, isn't it?
It is a very big piece. I found that in being generous myself, both in giving to nonprofits and giving to organizations I believe in and investing in my own training, has really helped tremendously.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're getting just about the end of our time, and I'm wondering, I just love your energy, Maggie, and I'm wondering if there's anything else you want to add before. I know we didn't talk too much about what you've done for the studio. Maybe you just want to kind of briefly talk about how you helped the studio grow, and then we'll wrap up.
Sure. It's a healing arts center that has it had a yoga studio, and it has had some offices for healing arts practitioners. And when I came in, because I was looking for space to rent for to teach classes, I saw the amazing energy, and the people that I met were wonderful. But I also saw the potential that it had. Space could be used better. More could be offered. You know, like the world should know about this place. So and it's a parallel process in your own private practice. There's a little bit of like, well, I'm offering great stuff, so I want to let people know that, and I want to learn who these people are. And it's the same thing here with the Healing Arts Center. This is a great place. The world should know about it, and the people here should learn about our community. It's just completely parallel. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, so that enthusiasm, bringing that into it.
Yeah,
Go ahead. No, and I hear how you've gotten the studio to do the benefit events, and you've worked with the individual teachers, as you told me, when you have a new teacher, you help them to grow, which grows the studio.
Yeah. So it's all the same. It's like great services being offered, whether it's through you individually or through an organization, a whole healing arts center. You have great services. You want the community to know about it. You want to get to know your community, so you just reach out. You get to know your community. You email your students and see how they're doing. Or if you're you're growing a healing arts center, then you reach out to the community and see where you can benefit benefit the community and support them. We offer free space all the time for different community events that are happening for free in around here. So it's this circular kind of great place, great people in the community. Let's keep supporting and let the vortex, just go wild. For everybody to benefit.
That's beautiful. So then people really associate your center with generosity.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for bringing your lovely, joyful, abundant self here with us and so generously explaining all of this. And I just want to tell people that they can visit Roots and Wings, healingarts.com. Did I get that right, Maggie?
You did. That's it. Yes. Sure. If anybody has questions, they're certainly welcome to contact me as well.
Thank you so much, Maggie. I really appreciate you being here with us.
Thank you, too. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Namaste.
Namaste.